For those who don't know me, my name is Talent. I'm just going to share with you the word. Thank you, Bradley, for leading and for leading the service and announcements and everything. And thank you. If you are here, you still feel you've got a word. I think Sam shared a very important message that you really feel the Lord speaks to you. You really feel sometimes He gives you thoughts that really come to pass. You know, when we say prophecy and God speaks to you, sometimes it can be overwhelming. But when we say, sometimes you've got these thoughts that you think it's God, that you think, you know what, these are not just my thoughts. They are my thoughts, but there seems to be something in here. Please, don't hesitate to share with us. If God works through our hearts and through our spirits. And please feel free, this platform is open. Come and speak to us. If it's word for the church, come and speak to us. We want to cultivate that. We want you to know that you are free to share what you feel God is saying to you. Hallelujah. Thank you. We need to make the culture of hearing God, culture of obeying God. You know, it doesn't hurt even if you didn't get it right. We honor the culture of obedience, of stepping out and say, you know what, I will step out. I will say what I think God is saying. So that culture of obedience, it's more important to obey than to sacrifice, says the scriptures. Obedience is better than sacrifice. So obedience is something that we can only learn by practicing more often. I'm going to share this morning, briefly, I'm going to be short, about what I've labeled kingdom connections. Maybe we can just fly the slide. Okay, there you go. I know the spelling is not quite correct, but yeah, that's the kingdom connections we are talking about. It's the new version of connection. But I'd like to stay on that slide, Martin. Just stay on that slide. I think I'll stay there for some time, because I feel something slightly different. So I wanted to name these friends like these, but then I realized okay, there's we have a different connotation. there's a whole different meaning to that. But I've kept it as kingdom connections. It's basically to speak about what the Lord does through us and through relationships and through friends and through that. It's good to see some of the people I haven't seen in a long time. Welcome. If you are new here, welcome. After this, we have coffee. Please don't run away. Stay with us. We have coffee. We usually linger around for another hour. So this is just the beginning. the real service is coming after this. Okay, guys, that's a joke. But yeah, we do have coffee after this. We normally stay around and have a chat and get to talk to each other. But I'd like to share a bit of my testimony. But on what I've entitled stewarding relationships or kingdom connections. If you look at all of us here, the scriptures speak in the book of Genesis. It says, at the beginning, God said, let us make man in our own image. Let them have dominion. And then God made Adam. And then in the second chapter, in fact, He made them both male and female on that day. And He says, let them have dominion. And then He creates Adam from the soil, and then Eve as well from Adam being put to sleep. But if you reflect and look at the fact that today the planet has 8 billion people, and all the 8 billion people came from those two people. In fact, if you were to really go back and back and back, go to your grandparents, grandparents, great-great-grandparents, great-great-parents, you'll find that you're actually related to me. Do you realize that? Do you realize that we are actually there is a connection there? we do that in the African culture tradition. When I meet you, you are my brother. Our new generation, we have lost that. But the old ones, when they ask your name, your surname, they will somehow find a connection to them and to their great parents. They will say, oh, you are so-and-so from so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. Oh, my cousins, cousins, and cousins. And your people were like, they'll always find a way to create a relationship because we are a communal people. The culture is much more communal. I mean, it's been lost because of, modernization and stuff that's been lost. We are only remarking about that Sika, that you know what we have lost. We are all individualistic now. I mean, that's the way it is. We live in a world that's individualistic, and we eventually became that. But what I want to talk about this morning is the fact that from Adam and Eve came the whole world, and then from Jacob and his 12 sons came the nation of Israel. It just took time. Their children, great-grandchildren, they became a tribe. They became 70 and 70, and then they moved, thank you, the 70 from the 12 children, their children, and became, you know, this family clan of about 70 people, including great children and great grandchildren. And one day, if you read the book of Genesis, they were taken down to Egypt because of a famine. They had to go down to Egypt. You know the story of Joseph. Joseph was actually sold to Egypt, and he was the only Israelite that he had moved years earlier. And then when there was a famine, the rest of the crew had to move to Egypt in search of, so that they can survive. There was a famine that lasted quite some time. Because Egypt, Joseph had given Egypt wisdom to keep grains for 7 years. You know, every year, the 80-20 principles, save 20% of your income for the next 7 years. And then that's how they did. And that's how Egypt managed to survive the famine. But then, that whole clan, the 70 of them, they came down from Israel to Egypt. And then from there, they did not go back because they stayed, and even beyond this famine, they stayed, and they became, but at the beginning, they had good relations with Egypt. Then another pharaoh that knew not and then rose up, and then they became enslaved, and they became, but the story is that they became a people just from the 12 sons of Jacob. Jacob was also named Israel. I want you to notice that it is this 12, this number 12, from that beginning that has become consistent from Genesis right up to the end. 12 represents the 12 tribes of Israel. When Jesus comes on earth, he picks up 12 guys and says, "You're going to be my followers." And even in the throne, we hear of the 24 elders. That will be from the 12 tribes of Israel and from the church to make up the 24. So you will see that right from the beginning, Jacob's 12 sons were a result of the fact that God works with people. God works with people. I want you to, because we live in an individualistic society, we easily forget the fact that God works through people. And I just want you to, if there's a takeaway this morning, it is the fact that you'll be able to appreciate after this your brother, the friend, or even the stranger that you meet out in the marketplace. Because you do not know what connection the Lord has through that person. Let me share in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. I'll just read that. You don't have to open the scriptures. The Bible says, "Give, and it shall be given to you, and a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will put into your bosom. For the measure you give, you use, will also be given to you." When I was young, I used to think that, you know, when I give to the Lord is going to come with money and give it to me. I'm going to pick money on the road. I really believe that. I mean, I'm being honest. When I held the scripture often, that gives, and the Lord will give, there's more blessed to give, and stuff. I used to give. And I used to walk on the road expecting one of these days I'm going to find a note. I'm going to find a bank, a bunch of notes because I've given to the Lord. I mean, that was naive, but that was my faith. It was genuine faith. I really believed in giving. I really believed God is going to give back to me. But what I did not know is that the Lord doesn't always just rain money. He can, yes, he can. But the Lord always, almost always uses people. I did eventually get my blessings. I believe you me, I remember when I needed money at varsity, I've shared that testimony. I just went to varsity with no sponsorship, with nothing. I just went there by faith. And then after a semester or two, I struggled. The first semester, struggled. The second semester. Then one day, this big businessman just gives me a call or calls my cousin, says the Lord spoke to me. He says I should employ your brother, your cousin in my business. And then when I went to, so he should come and, when I went to go to see him, sat behind his big chair, and he told me that, yeah, I was praying. The Lord spoke to me that I should employ you during your vacation periods, and then you can raise some pocket money for school. And then he says, but then again, the Lord spoke to me, and he says, I should pay all your school fees right up to you finish varsity. Just like that. So, what I want you to notice is God uses people. Someone said this statement that really hit me one day, and over the past few years, I actually realized that it's actually very true. He says, when God wants to protect you, when God wants to protect you, you will take away some people in your life. Did you hear that? Yeah. When God wants to protect you, you take away certain people in your life. And sometimes when certain relationships go, certain people are taken out of your lives, we fight, we just think that something, we think something is wrong. But sometimes, I know a story of the eagle. The eagle, when it trains its eaglets, it gives birth eggs on a thorny tree. It deliberately goes to a thorny tree to create its nest there. And then when it hatches, the eaglets start eating. The eagle goes away, takes food, feeds these things. Goes away, takes food, feeds these things. Then at some point in time, when it is time for these eaglets, because these eaglets are not chickens. These things were born to fly. Yeah, they are not chickens. They are born to fly. And at some point, when it is time to fly, Zoe is starting to learn to walk. When the mother eagle realizes it's time to fly, you will stop bringing food, or you will start rationing the food. Or you will bring all the food, but you will come and start to slowly destroy the nest. It will use its beak and start to take away the nest. You can imagine, take away the thing that he had used to build the nest. And this takes away, remember, he built it on a thorny tree. As it takes away, what's going to happen? These things are going to be onto thorns. And when they jump into thorns, the babies jump. And when they jump out, they learn to fly because they are forced to jump because this is no longer comfortable. As they jump and they are falling. As they are falling, they try to fly and they are not yet good at flying. The mother eagle will jump, let them fall. Just before they hit the ground, the mother eagle will just come and pick them up. Take them high and then drop them again. and train them to fly. You were born to fly. It's in your DNA, but you can't do it as yet. Most of us, there is power in our Christian DNA. But there's, like you were speaking about prophecy. But we can't do it as yet. We are afraid. We've got this. We can do, Christ says, you will be able to do more than what I have done. Greater things than I have done. But some of us, we need to be pushed to that place where we are forced to fly. So there are times when God will take away the comfort that you have and even the great pastors that you have, so that you can learn to stand and to be the champion that you were made to be. So God uses people in both. When God wants to bless you, he brings people. That's the second statement I want you to understand. When God wants to protect you and to bless you, sometimes he removes people. But when God wants to protect you and when he wants to elevate you, half the time he takes away some people. Then when God wants to bless you, he brings some people in your life. And the way the Lord brings people in our lives often is not obvious. It's not the obvious person that you think, this is the person that the Lord has brought me to bless me. Half the time, it's the person that you least expect. And that is why we need to value people. Because we don't know whom the Lord is using. I've been in those situations before. I see this guy, I ignore him. I'm like, you know, this guy, I'm not. But before you know it, that guy is the guy that is going to cause me to be promoted. In fact, I'll tell you the truth. All my jobs, I think I've had 4 or 5 jobs in my career. All of my jobs were through a person. In fact, all the CVs I have thrown out just open, I've never got even one job. All the jobs I get was from a friend who says, there's this opening. Please go and sit in so-and-so, or please apply. From my internship, when I finished varsity, from my internship, the person, I remember she's in the UK now, she says, you know what, there's a friend who is an IT manager at this place. Can you just go drop your CV there? And I struggled to find internship for quite some months, for quite some time. And before you know it, the guy didn't even interview me. He says, okay, can you just sit? I thought I was going to sit on an interview. He just says, okay, there's this machine that we just need to format. Can you copy across these files? And that's all that was my interview. I copied across files, across a network, and that was it. The next day, I was working. And this is the person that I was never close to. But I just happened to text that particular day, and she said, you know what? Oh, you're looking for attachment. Go and do this. Internship, go and... So sometimes there are those people that we don't so much as value or don't see as if they are going to be part of our lives, but God uses people. So I'm going to skip a few things. I'm one of those people that believe that we need to be more alert and more aware of what God is doing in our lives. Our walk, in fact, just yesterday I was giving a lecture somewhere about how we need to be aware of our spiritual roadmap. In fact, if I'm to ask you today, you are born again, you are church, what's your next stage? Let's say church or growing up is grade 1 to 12. Which grade are you? So in other words, what are you looking forward to God doing in your life? Because half the time when you are not aware that there is a journey, there is a roadmap. In our careers, we know that after this, I'll probably the next job to try and apply for is this. After this, the next thing. But when it comes to the faith, we are lax and laid back. We don't have a path or a roadmap for growth. But that's a diversion. So let me show you a few stories about my walk, the people that took me to the next deeper level in my walk. When I got born again, I was very young. The Lord brought a friend, and that friend has become a covenant brother like more than 20 years ago. And then I was a teenager. I just found this guy fascinating, and I decided I'm going to be a friend to this guy. You know, there are times when we are young, making friends is a skill. But when we grow up, we seem to drop that skill. How many of us have noticed that we forget that friend making? When we were young, we made friends in high school. But when you grow up, when we get married, when life happens, we forget that friend making is a very important part of life. And cultivating relationships. And so when I was young, I made this friend. When I had free time, I would just go to his house. And we became friends, very close friends. And he was much more ahead spiritually. And because of that, we would have arguments. And someday I'm like, I don't like this guy. I'm like, I don't like you. I don't like this guy. But the following day, I'm back. That's how it is. That's how it is with friends. I'm like, I don't like this guy. His debates, like he used to debate a lot. And I don't like, I'm more introverted, and this guy just want to make a meal out of anything every time. But we would go to the river together, we would go fishing, we would go praying, we would go do stuff. And today we are covenant brothers. We are literally like brothers. My parents, her parents, when my parents, basically, her parents count me as one of his sons. My parents count him as one of his sons. And that's just the way it is. We've become like David and Jonathan. We just that's how it is. When we visit our parents, that's how it is. And that's how it's supposed to be. The Lord Jesus spoke about when the Holy Communion. He says in John 15, I no longer call you servants, but I now call you friends. Christianity moves us from a place where we are just colleagues to a place where we become friends. And he says this blood of the covenant, it is the blood of friendship. It is the blood we become. We have Jesus and his 12 disciples, they started off as a band of guys, but they became covenant. They became friends. They became eternal friends. So much that every one of them was willing, except obviously Judas, was willing to give their lives for this Jesus. In fact, 10 of them died violent deaths because Peter says, I'd rather be crucified upside down than to be crucified like Jesus, my Savior. It is these friendships that we are called to cultivate. And in our society and in our world, we have lost the art of covenant relationships. We have come to only think of covenant relationships as it's only me and God. That's it. But do you know that Holy Communion is a covenant relationships with the people that you are drinking with? But because we live in an individualistic society, you do your thing, I do my thing. And that's not really covenant. That's not really covenant. Anyway, let's leave that one. I see I'm stepping on toes. I'm stepping on toes. So one day, when I first came to Cape Town, when the Lord says move to Cape Town, came here, I prayed, I did all that I could, prayed up, I did all that I could, and I knew that the Lord wanted to bless me, but I knew that one day, if the Lord is to bless me, he will bring people. And I know the first person the Lord brought to me was a guy called Chris Millian. That's another story. He moved to Australia. But Chris connected me to a lot of friends, a lot of people, and it was a very small church. I think when I joined Chris, he was pastoring like a church of 10, 15 people. But I just felt this is home for me. I had been to big churches. I've been to every nation, to this. I mean, I've been to amazing churches with sound. The guys didn't even have a sound system. Eh? We used to have TV and would just play YouTube and worship. But I just felt this is home for me. And that ability to recognize the people that God has called you to, it's a skill. And this is what I'm praying for us this morning. That you recognize the people that the Lord has brought into your path and not let them just pass over. It's not everyone. And it's not every moment. But the ability to be able to pick that there's something there. I will stay here. Because half the time, we are moved by the flashing lights and the flashing stuff and the friends with cars and the friends with this stuff. Yet, sometimes they are not really the people for our destiny. So being able to recognize this skill, number one is covenant. Number two, being able to recognize the people that God places people in our paths randomly. But it takes a discerning spirit to say, this is the place. I was there for months. It was in Maitland. We would just come there and having moved, pastoring a big church. I was literally in a big organization and the church that I was pastoring had grown to 2 services. And God said, okay, move to Cape Town, go and start afresh. Now I'm starting afresh. No friends, I have no relationships. I'm starting from the beginning. And you can imagine, literally, you want to go to your big church. You want to go to a place that's established, and you know, because you are used to this lifestyle. But I just felt this is the place. And Chris connected me to a guy called Jason. In fact, it's very funny. The first time I met Jason, some of you have seen Jason. Jason is a good friend of mine, Jason Dike. We first met at a conference. In fact, this was very funny, very funny, in the sense that we were sitting at a conference where this other American guy that had come, it was at Le Vendeverd in Cape Gate there. There was a conference, they were doing a conference. So I'm sitting with these guys, I look at this guy with long hair, and I'm like, I like this guy. I'm actually sitting on the other side. Just from nowhere, there are people all over, but I just look at this guy, this colored guy with long hair, and I just like him. We have never spoken, we have never said hi, he's on the other side. And I just like this guy. And in my mind, I could see me working with this guy. Weird. Weird thing to see yourself working with a guy that you have never met, you have never talked to, you don't even know him from a bar of soap. And I never followed up that thought. I just ignored. And I think the second session or the third session, he came to sit next to me. In fact, he didn't come to sit next to me. We were greeting each other, and he came to greet me. And I just greeted me, and we introduced each other. Then I am so-and-so, and he's so-and-so. And that was it. That was the end of it. The conference went, and he went his way. I went my way. 7 months later, I told you, I meet, I think a few months after that, I had met Chris. Seven months later, he comes to the church that I had gone to at Chris. I meet this guy, he comes to this very church with 15 people that I had. And from nowhere, from a conference of hundreds of people, he's the only guy that came on this day. And I knew that day I saw you, and I knew that there's something with this guy. He was part of my, to cut the long story short, he was part of my bridal team. Is that called what? Groomsmen's team at my wedding. Yeah, not bridal. Ah, got that wrong. So Jason introduced me to, he was at Every Nation. And then we started going to hospital to do healing together. I can tell you some great testimony to Jason. I remember one day we went into this ward with Jason in Tigerberg. Having met and having started to go to the hospital together. We meet this, so it was the Ben's ward or something with, I don't know what to call it, the trauma ward, something like that. So we get in there, just the two of us, we had partnered, we get in there, there's this guy that he had the whole section of his leg bent. And so we just get there, we say, can we pray for you? We pray for him, the pain disappears, and he says the pain is gone. And as we were praying, the lady next to, the guy next to him, on the bed next to him, I think he had problem, heavily bandaged leg, accident or something. So he says, I'm also feeling pain, please pray for me. As we move on to the next bed to say, please pray for me, before we even, the second one we prayed. As we were praying for that person, the person across the room, I think there were two, you know how beds are across the other side, the two beds across the other side. One person says, my pain is gone. And the other person says, that word, the pain started to disappear before we prayed for people. People got healed by Bluetooth of some sort. So this is my journey. Steve Haynes, you guys met Steve when he came to preach here the other day on the day after the Springboks won, and he spoke about how on the last day there won't be a neutral, there'll be a losing team and a winning team, and some people got to yell, the final whistle is coming, and there will be pain and celebration. And so you know Steve, he's a very, very, very good man. Another story as well. Met Steve at Every Nation again through Jason. When Chris moved to Australia, the church could not continue, so I was now back again, church hunting. And then Jason tells me, can you come and just check us out at the Baxter? So I got the Baxter Every Nation, I go check them out. I wasn't really interested. I was sort of a permanent visitor. I used to come and visit a lot as a permanent visitor. And then one day, there's this guy called Steve who came to preach on the pulpit because he was one of the pastors there. And I'm like, this guy, he has a different way of preaching. I like this guy. And again, in a moment, I could see myself working with this guy. Weird thing. I have not accepted this guy. Weird thing. I could see myself working with this guy. And this guy is so solid. His scriptures are so solid. His spiritual discernment, his prophecy and stuff, it's accurate. I'm like, I like this guy. Cut the long story short, Steve leaves as well. But one day he comes back to give a session on evangelism. And he invites us to one of his conferences, one of his teams, that he was holding. And I went there and we just hit it off. First time I gave him a prophetic word, he's like, who is this guy? I'm like, where are you from? And then we had coffee and then we became friends after that. And we're still friends to this day. He went to the US, he came back. Yesterday they were having birthday party, we were there. That's just how it is. It's like if you are not discerning of the important people in your life, you can easily miss the small moments. So I've only talked about the spiritual side. I've told you about Leo, the guy whom I preached to. Leo was a friend's mutual friend. So when I was looking for a job, the mutual friend who has moved to Canada spoke to Leo, and Leo said, "Please just send your interview. I'll give it to my boss," and that's how I got the job. So again, it's those moments when you see that God, if you look at your life, you are able to. Unfortunately, we can't connect the dots when we are still there. We can only connect the dots when we look backward. We're like, oh, that and that and that and that and that led to this. And I'm like, if this chain wasn't there, I wouldn't be here today. And my encouragement this morning is to say, God, make me realize my moments. Today, let me cut the long story short. Today, I'm still talking about Steve. So we worked with Steve Haynes, and then he runs a school, a summer school, winter school sort of. And then so one of these days he decides to do a one monthly alumni meeting sort of. And then he's got this meeting at Journey of Grace. By then they were in Tiger Valley. So it's like, please come, just come and help me minister to the people, pray for the people and stuff. We're just going to have prayer, soaking, and then you go out the streets and do outreach. So I go there. It was my second or so of the year. So I go there, and as I walk in the room, Journey of Grace was, so people would bring their pillows, they would sit on the floor, they would be playing worship and just soaking in the presence of God and just enjoying. I walk into that meeting, and I see this girl that's lying on the floor, and I'm like, oh my word. And I've been praying for a wife for a very long time. And it just wasn't happening. It just wasn't the time. And I was 35. I was 34, 35. And I'm like, God, why every time I try this, you're like, no, that's not your wife. And I walk in and I'm like, oh my word, that's a beautiful girl. I'm like, she was putting on this pink jersey. And I'm like, wait, you are here for prayer. Like, wait, don't be cut now. You are here for prayer. But I couldn't take my eyes off here, guys. I tried as much to stay away and just pray and focus and just, I'm here, let's be here for God's business. And yeah, to cut the long story short, guys, I met my wife. That's Siko. That was Siko there lying on the floor. And yeah. And that was through Steve. And I never knew I was going to meet someone that's going to connect me with someone, connect me. And yeah, I just saw this girl. It was love at first sight, I must say. It was. But that's a story for me to get a number. It took another long story as well. But I'm glad we are here today. Here I am through Siko. I met Bradley, Caroline. I met Slim, you know, we met through Siko. So, like, my life, when I look back and connect the dots, it's the trajectory of all this and all this. And there are crucial moments that if I had missed that moment, I wouldn't have been able to be where I am today. And I can only connect the dots by looking forward. And I know that even going forward, there are going to be more of these dots that are interconnected. And I need to be even more alert and more wiser from what I have learned from my past. And I'm just sharing with you this day that you'll be more wiser with the people that are coming across your path, because God uses people. There are times when God wants to protect you while you take away some people. Then there are times when God wants to take you to, want to promote you, he will bring you some people. And sometimes it's subtle. Sometimes it's not always obvious. So I want to encourage you this morning that just the sensitivity, two things, the sensitivity to know, in fact, just number one, to treat everyone as if that person is a God-sent person. We never know. treat everyone as if that's a God-sent person. And number two, the sensitivity to know that this particular one is different. I need, and number three, to be able to pursue, when you are at that place, to be able to pursue and cultivate relationships. We can teach about breakthrough and about this and about this. Sometimes God will bring it to you, but your eyes are closed. You are not seeing it. You are praying like, God, but why? But God is saying, I've given you the answer. Your eyes are just closed. That's my prayer this morning. Our siblings, our friends, our classmates, our workmates, just to bring them before the Lord and just to realize that, you know what, we don't have capacity to be friends with everyone. Unfortunately, I was reading the other day that human beings have a capacity to only have like 5 close friends. You have 5 close friends. If there are more than 5, they're not very close friends. Some of them are not close. You probably, so very, very close friends, they say our capacity is usually about 5. Then it's not only about 50 people that we can have friends. Don't worry about Facebook, how many Facebook friends you can have. That's a lie. The real friends that you can have, the cap is 50 people. That a human being can generally know and be friends with. More at a secondary level. But intimate, close friends, about 5 people. And acquaintances, I think as much as 250. And it is this reason why Jesus was called to Israel. He says, I was called the lost sheep of Israel. But amongst the lost sheep, he chose 12. And in fact, he had 120, 500 or so. He had many different layers. The Bible tells us on the day of Pentecost, he had 120, there were 500. There were different layers. In fact, even amongst the 12, he had 3 that were very close to him. Remember, when he went to the Mount of Transfiguration, he took John, Peter, and that James. He had 3 people that if he needed, you know, to confide with, he needed close, he would take these 3 guys. But it takes discernment to be able to know who are the people that are supposed to walk with me closely in my life at that level. Because not everyone can be a close person. In fact, certain people, if they are close to your life, they can actually be a door for the enemy. And that's why when God blesses you, sometimes he takes away some people. So I want us to pray about discernment, to say, God, even in this time, in this season, end of the year, open my eyes, let me see the relationships I need to cultivate. Let me see the close relationships that I need to cultivate closely. Let me know the loose relationships I need to keep. But importantly, help me to treat people like they are your people. Like they could be a connection to my next level. I want us to pray for those things. Let's stand on our feet. Thank you, Lord. So can I ask the band to come back again? Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Good to see you. Good to see everyone. And I just wanted to just say, Lord, bring me people that you have to be close in my life. And give me the same time to know that. Does